Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
I do hope I can be repetitious without being boring. I have a statement to make, a quotation from Gus Nichols. Gus Nichols was about 6'5", 6'4", maybe. Strong man. Big smile. A gold tooth right in front. Heard him say many times, "Preachers talk so much, the Lord can't get a word in edgewise." That's been true of me too, but not tonight. If you go out tonight saying, "I'm bored," you're going to be bored by the Word of God, because I'm going to read it. And the problem is, you have to listen and not follow. Maybe toward the end, I'll tell you where I'm reading, but not all the way through, because I want you to hear, not necessarily see. Welcome to this class. Thank you for being here. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is glad to have you. If you're a visitor, delighted for your presence. If you're a regular member, though we count on you, we recognize it was with some effort that you're here. We appreciate your presence. James 5, verse 11. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord was very compassionate and merciful." And your King James Version, that word is not perseverance, it is patience. And we've heard of the patience of Job, but the Greek word there, supamene, which means to arrange under or to remain under. It simply means to bear up under stress. When I hear the word patience, I think of a man with a big grand piano strapped to his back, and he's moving it from one room to the next. It is kind of heavy, and he's having trouble, but he does not give up. He is patient. I want you to think of some men who had qualities that we think of as being wonderful qualities. Think of the faith of Abraham. Until he thought the son of promise was not coming through Sarah, but through Hagar. Think of the meek Moses, who turned the burning bush property into a polemic platform and argued with God. Stood toe-to-toe with his creator, he lost. Or maybe think of the strength of Samson. Oh, lad, a beautiful brunette lady to put him to sleep and cut his hair. Or think of the patience of Job, who finally said, "God, I want you to come down to court. I want an unbiased judge. I want somebody to take my side and your side. I'm going to prove to you that I'm innocent." My friend, we'll never get life figured out. And if we think we're going to wrap our brains around God's way, we've lost our minds. He is so much greater than us, we cannot. The only thing we can know about God is to look in the heavens and see that it does exist, because they declare his existence. To look in the Bible and see what he wants. Anything beyond that is guesswork. I appreciate all the men who have taught the book of Job, especially Brother Johnson, as he has eyes in his fingers, and Troy, as he has ears in his fingers. As for me, I have the keyboard in my fingers, because if I didn't, you would not read what I wrote, and I could not read it either, just the way it is. I'm going to read many short texts, I hope you will listen. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So this man was the greatest of all people of the East. What kind of business was he in? A man that has 3,000 camels. A man that has 500 yoke of oxen, that's 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, large number of servants. He lived near the trade routes. He no doubt brought silk from China. He brought gold from the southern part of Arabia. He distributed that to various places, all the way over to Gaza, seacoast town that served the Mediterranean, the villages around it. What a man he was. He had 18-wheelers, that's the camels, mechanics, those who took care of the camels and fed them and so forth. He had box trucks. There's the lower animals, the donkeys. He had mechanics for them, men to fuel them, and he had many, many servants, just the way it was. There was a practice in that day of his sons and daughters getting together and having a celebration. And after that was over, Job made burnt offerings for them and prayed for them, lest they had sinned in some way. I know you know this story, but please indulge me, allow me a moment of literary license. Satan challenged God. You think you're something, don't you? You think Job really loves you? He's like a monkey on a string. You bless him so much, take down that hedge from around him. I'll show you I'm stronger than you. Your prized possession will deny you and will align himself with me. Now those are Satan's thoughts, not his words. God answered, here's his thoughts, not his words. I will meet you on Front Street tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Bring any weapons you wish, and since Job is a necessary part of your arsenal, he will be there. Only rule is, you can't kill him. Satan says, that's more than fair. God, I've got you. Shootout that ensued was fearless, long-lasting, and of course Job got caught in the crossfire, and he doesn't know what's going on. Again, when we, as Job, try to understand God and his ways, we fall flat on our face. Here's a quick summary of the book. Job was a righteous man, but he misinterprets the cause of his problem. His 4 companions, old men, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and the young man, Elihu, discussed the problem. They were wrong. All of them were wrong. God scolds Job. He's wrong too. He makes full confession of his ignorance, and then some good things followed. Now, beginning the reading, and we're going to start in Job 3 and just skim through about 13 chapters here. After his visitors sat silently for a week, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job spoke and said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a man-child is conceived. Eliphaz speaks, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many, but now it comes upon you, and you're weary. It touches you, and you're troubled. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Job responds, oh, that my grief were fully weighed, my calamity laid with it on the scales. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the sea, therefore their words have been rash. My brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the stream of the brooks that pass away, which are dark because of the ice, and into which the snow vanishes. Then Job talks to God. Over in chapter 6, did I ever say to anyone, God, bring something to me, offer a bribe for me from your wealth, deliver me from the enemy's hands, or redeem me from the hand of my oppressors? Teach me and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forceful are right words, but what does your argument prove? Do you intend to rebuke my words? The speeches of the desperate one. And here's the futility of all. The speeches of the desperate one, which are as the wind. That's what we sound like and look like to God. We are just the wind blowing, that's all. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing until dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Have I sinned, God? What have I done to you, O watcher of man? Why have you set me as a target so that I'm a burden to myself? Why then do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? For now I will lie down in the dust. You will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be. He can't get a word out of God. God is listening, looking, watching, but does not respond. So Bildad comes to Job. How long will you speak these things, and the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? Does God subvert justice, judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake from you for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place. Easy to say for a man who has not lost all of his wealth and all of his children. For inquire, please, of the former age and consider the things discovered by your fathers. For we were born yesterday and know nothing because our days on the earth are a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and utter words from their heart? Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reed flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web. Job returns these words to Bildad. If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. He has hardened himself against him. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes mountains. And do not they know when he overturns them in his anger? He shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and does not rise. He seals off the stars and alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, Pleiades, those are constellations, the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out, yes, wonders without number. Job speaks to Bildad. This is a great paragraph, chapter 9, verse 21, beginning, if you want to follow this one, I am blameless. Yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given in the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of the judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away and see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile, I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit, and my own clothes will abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we may go to court together. Now, nor is there a mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. In the old Bible, that reads a little different way. It does not say mediator. It says, neither is there a daysman betwixt us. I like that. That he might lay his hand on both of us. The word yarkah means here, or daysman or mediator, adjudicator, intermediary, or judge. There's no person who is a disinterested party, as we could say, not showing any preference, that would stand between you and me, God, and say, okay, God, you testify, Job, you testify, God, you testify, Job, you testify, and we'll get at the truth. Job said, it's not going to happen. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. There's no mediator that's going to say, Job, this God is kind of like you, so don't worry. Don't be terrified. And I wouldn't be terrified. But Job said, that's not going to happen. Job continues to talk to God in chapter 10. Do not contend me. Show me why contend with me. Do you have eyes of flesh? Or do you see as a man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man? You should seek for any iniquity and search out my sin. Although you know I'm not wicked, there is no man who can deliver me from your hand. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, and yet you would destroy me. Are not my days few? Cease, leave me alone, God, that I might take a little comfort before I go to the place which I shall not return, to the land of darkness, the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Well, Zophar chimes in now to Job. Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be vindicated? Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? For you have said, my doctrine is pure, I am clean in your eyes, but oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom. If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him, if iniquity were in your hand, and you put it far away, and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away, and your life would be better than noonday. Job responds, chapter 12, verse 2, no doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. They're getting pretty hefty with each other, aren't they? But I have understanding as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? I am one mocked by his friends who called on God, and he answered him, the just and blameless who is ridiculed. Behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and that it would be your wisdom. Job continues with him. Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Hold your peace with me, and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my ways before him. I love that. I'm going to always trust God, but I think he's wrong right now, and I'm going to tell him why I think I'm right. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before him. Now, there arrives on the scene a different kind of man. We're going to skip many chapters. You thought we never could finish, don't you? Go down to chapter 32, a man named Elihu. He is the younger of the four, the youngest of the four, I should say, and he's going to explain that. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. They did not declare him righteous. He declared himself righteous. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now, because they were years younger than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his anger was aroused. And then 33, chapter 1, verse 1, but please, Job, hear my speech. Listen to my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from an upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of the Lord has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly I am your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, nor will my hand be heavy on you. Surely you have spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the sound of your words, saying, I am pure, without transgression. I am innocent. There is no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasion against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths. Look, in this you are not righteous. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend with him? For he does not give an accounting of any of his words. For God will speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Elihu then turns his attention to the old man, the three old men that were supposed to be smarter than he. chapter 34, Elihu further answered and said, "Hear my words, you wise men. Give ear to me, you who have knowledge. For the ear tests the words as the palate tastes food. Let us choose justice for ourselves. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, 'I am righteous, but God has taken away my justice. Shall I lie concerning my right? My wound is incurable, and though I am without transgression.'" What man is like Job, who drinks scorn like water, who goes in company with workers of iniquity, and walks with wicked man? For he has said, "It profits a man nothing that he should delight in God." Therefore, listen to me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness, and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his work, and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole earth? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself the spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall return to dust. And this man, this young man, keeps talking. That's in chapter 34. He talks chapter 35, 36, and 37. And then comes the favorite part of the book for me. God talks to Job in 38. "Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. And he said, 'Who is this who darkens my counsel by words without knowledge?'" Job, who are you? You don't know what you're talking about. You've said a lot of words. You don't know the truth. "Now, prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling cloths. When I fixed my limit upon it and set bars and doors. When I said, 'This far you may come, but no further. And here your proud waves must stop.' Job, have you commanded the morning since your days began? Caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, stands out like a garment. For the wicked, from the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Have you walked in search of its depths? I should say, have you been to the Mariana Trench, deepest place in the Pacific?" That was a James Andrews insert. "Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way of dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? You may take it to its territory, that you may know the path to its home. Do you know it? Because you were born? Or because the number of your days is so great? Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it." Then Job answered and said, "Behold, I am vile." That's 40, verse 4. "What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." You know what God says in Big Cove language? "Oh, no, Job, You're not going to get by with that. You've called me into this conversation, you're going to deal with it. Now prepare yourself like a man, verse 7. I will question you and you will answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in his place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. That was a pretty stiff arm God gave to Job. Job speaks in verse 42, chapter 42. I know that you can do everything. No purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now the eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Thank you, Job. I'm glad that was you instead of me. You did it better than I did. I don't think I could have lived through it. Chapter 42, verse 7, God turns to Eliphaz. So it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. For you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. And therefore take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. Ouch. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now in chapter 42, verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemimah, and the name of the second Kizera. The name of the third, Karin Hapuk. Those names are not familiar to me. I never would have named my child that. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers, which was quite unusual. Women didn't get an inheritance. After this, Job lived 140 years, saw his children, grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. That is a fantastic book. And what I hope I did tonight was take the many things that were said about this book in its bits and pieces by our good teachers in this class and just throw them out to you in a bundle and say, here it is. Christians sometimes will give us evidence they think of why such and such has happened to them. We cannot know. We cannot know unless God has told us. He tells us in his word, but he doesn't describe all of our miseries and all of our blessings in a personal sense, but in a general sense, he does. And we know that we receive blessings from God, blessings as Christians if we obey him, curses if we don't. The Bible teaches us that. But again, specifically identifying them is quite impossible. You've been a good class. I haven't looked at you so much. I've been looking at my text, and I hope you found it to be interesting, because it is indeed the Word of God. I would ask for questions, but if you ask, I couldn't hear you. So just cause confusion, and we'll do that later. Privately. I have a guest in the audience with me. I want you to meet him. Back in the 1980s in Jamaica, I met a gentleman named Colonel Colin Lloyd George Harris. He was a village chief, not just a village chief, he was a chief of a territory of the Maroons. Colonel Harris became one of my best friends. He was featured in National Geographic with a full-page picture back in the 80s. I don't remember what date that was. When I met him, he told me he had been photographed by the National Geographic Society and had not heard anything, so I wrote the society, and they told me that it would be coming soon, and he would be honored in that book, and he was. I didn't know it at the time. Colonel Harris had some children. One of those was Mark Harris, who's with me tonight. I'll introduce him in just a minute, but I must say this. Colonel Harris, though not a member of the Church of Christ, did us many, many, many good things as we worked in that territory. I stayed in his home. We talked. We had good conversations. And he opened many doors for me and for the Church of Christ in that area. Later on, I met Mark. Mark, I want you to stand. I want everybody to see who you are. This man is a Dr. Mark Harris. He has a doctorate in environmental geochemistry. Has recently published a book, Confronting Global Climate Change. And I say this without any political intent, so I'll just make the statement. I asked him if he had talked to our friend. Well, I forgot the guy's name up in Tennessee. Sorry about that, but he had not talked with him. It's good enough. Dr. Mark has recently been awarded the Musgrave Silver Medal by the country of Jamaica, a very, very high honor because of the work that he's done in global research. He is a conservative from a political standpoint, and he has done a mighty, mighty good job in presenting this book, and it has won him high acclaim. Thank you, Mark, for being here. Let's have a prayer. Father, for the blessings we have in Christ, we give our thanks. Pray that you'll bless us, make us take men like Job and Zophar and Bildad and those men and learn from them, that we might be greater servants of yours. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the men who oversee this work, and bless us as we work with them. We pray through Christ. Amen. Don't run in the hall.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.